There's a world at war, lost in suffering, silent casualties. Oh God, grant us peace. In these sleepless nights, I can hardly breathe. Despite brutality, I know that we'll be free. Let the light in, keep it shining. Let it break to the darkness. All the love dares us to see. Times, love will hold us near. Love will join our hands, teach us to have no fear. As we lay our hate down and wash their feet, as we see our brother, I know we'll all be free. I know. This for all the people I was scared to look in their eye, for fear the light was too bright.
When I look into the face of my enemy, I see my brother, I see my brother. When I look into the face of my enemy, I see my brother, I see my brother.
Now have you ever stopped to stare at the blinding of the glare that the sun in all its glory never refuses us to share? They say the windows to the soul can be seen through human eyes, but so often I just find myself believing all these lies. The posts, the comments, we snorting all these lines, and it disgusts me when I think I may have helped create divide. You see, your life is priceless, creation can't deny, and the beauty that resides within makes caterpillars fly. So it's time for you to flourish. It's time to stand and rise. The future now depends on what we do in present time. So if you're asking me to stand, my brother, I oblige, because the blood he shed upon that cross was all for yours and mine. Let's go.
When I look into the face of my enemy, I see my brother.
That's all I see.
I see my brother. The face of my enemy, I see my brother.
I see my brother.
See my brother. Forgiveness is the garment of our courage, the power to make the peace we long to know. Open up our eyes.
Come on.
To see the wounds that bind all of humankind. May our shattered hearts greet the dawn of life.
Look him in the eye.
Welcome to Easter Sunday here at Eagles Way. Hug somebody's neck next to you. Tell them hello. Join in on this song here.
You just call on me, brother, when you need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on. You just might have a problem that you'll understand. We all need somebody to lean on. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on.
The greatest day in history. Romans says, so now there is no condemnation. I don't know what you walked in here with. I don't know what guilt you came in here with. I don't know what shame you came in here with. I don't know what you came in here wearing that is not of Him. But I want whatever you came in with that has anything to do with condemnation or guilt or shame or lies that tell you you're not who God says you are. I want you to take that off. Go ahead and take it off right now. And you're going to put on a robe of righteousness. You're going to put on a robe that says, for there is no condemnation because you belong to Him. And the power of the life-giving Spirit that freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. You are free. You see, it says God did what the law could not do. And He sent His Son in a body like the bodies that we have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving His Son as a sacrifice for our sin. Do you see that scripture in Romans 8? It's one of my favorites because it goes on to say that if God be for us, for you, then who can be against us? And you see that same Spirit that rose Him from the dead is inside of you. And because it's inside of you, then what can separate you from Him? are his love. And it is nothing. It is nothing. It is nothing. It is nothing. So today we celebrate, we rejoice, and we say, God, you arrested death. And you sit at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us, saying that these people in this room are whole. So you put on that robe today.
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested, my life began. Ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given away. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested, my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over. My chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. When death was arrested, my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over. Criminal's cross is rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus rose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes. We'll be right back. How do I say thank you, Lord, for the way that you love and the way that you come, for all that you've done and all that you'll do. My heart pours out, thank you. You don't have to come, but you always do. You show up in splendor and change the whole room. You don't have to come, but you always do. You show up in splendor and change the whole room. How do I say thank you, Lord, for the life that you gave, cross that you bore, for the love you poured out to ransom my soul. My heart pours out this thankful song. You don't have to come, you always do. You show up in splendor and change the whole room. You don't have to come, you always do. You show up in love. There's a king in the room. He's all around us with fire in his eyes. Oh, there's a king in the room.
We worship him.
There's a king in the room. And his presence is all around us.
don't have to bring anything but me. I don't have to bring anything but me. I don't have to strive. I don't have to be the best. I don't have to have the mind of a perfectionist. Whatever it is that you think you have to do, forget it. He has already given you his love. He's already given it to you. I receive it.
Yes.
Say that right now. I receive it.
I receive it, God.
I receive you.
It, Jesus.
I receive you. And as I behold you, I become more like you.
Yes.
And I become more like myself.
Yes.
I'm coming back to the simple truth that you are God, and I am loved.
Thank you. want you to know today, and he's speaking to you today to say that my son came here not to redeem garbage. You are not now, nor have you ever been lost in my sight. I have always known right where you are. You are mine. Remember the parable. It was a pearl of great price that he found in the field. And he gave his life up and sold everything for the pearl of great price. You are a pearl of great price to me, says the Lord. You may have tasted death from the first Adam, but that doesn't mean you were lost in my sight. I have always known, and I always will know right where you are. And you are righteous to me, and you are holy to me, and you always have been holy to me. I did not redeem garbage. I did not redeem what was lost because I always knew where you were. And you are mine, says the Lord. And you are holy and you are good and you are redeemed in my sight.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
You do. How's everybody? Good. 41 years. This is my 41st Easter Sunday. This is my first Sunday, Easter Sunday, without my mother and my father. But can you imagine Big Mama and Big Daddy in heaven on Easter? Can you imagine? You think this is neat and this is good. Can you imagine what they're doing in heaven right now? Can you just start to imagine what heaven must be like when the risen Lord himself is there and all the angels and all the saints that have already gone on, all of your loved ones that have already passed on from this life to that life? Can you imagine what's going on in heaven right now on Easter Sunday morning? Wow. And Jesus is preaching. We'll talk about that at the end of the service, but let's just pray. Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for all the Easters that, Lord, you've given us on this earth to celebrate your resurrection, to celebrate your life, to celebrate your forgiveness of all of our sins, to just celebrate you. And today we want to do that. And I just thank you for opening up our hearts, our minds to receive what you have for us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. What I'm talking to you about today is take 40 years of Easter messages. It won't be here that long. I know it sounds real long, but I pray I have concised it down to the allotted time I have. So it's 40 years of Easter messages that God's given me. We talked about from different parts. This is going to be a little different. We're going to go down kind of the whole story of what took place. But I want you to know, first of all, that the cross and the resurrection is a story of hope. It's a story of hope. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, crucifixion was only reserved for slaves, bandits, prisoners of war, and revolutionists. Guess where Jesus stands in? Revolutionists. He came as he started a revolution. He started a revolution of grace. He started a revolution of love. He started a revolution of mercy and forgiveness. He started a brand new thing. Aren't you glad of that? And so God always had a plan. Now, I got to come down here. God always had a plan. And the plan was before the foundations of the world. This thing didn't just pop up and surprise God. How many of you know God's never said, wow? God's never said, whoa, that caught me off guard. I wasn't expecting that. You see, before he even created Adam and Eve, before this thing ever began, God knew what would happen. Christ knew what would happen. And so the plan of salvation, the plan of the cross, the crucifixion, and the resurrection was before the foundations of the world. Now, my question is, and I'm sure your question is, why did God do that if he knew what was going to happen? Why did he do that? Why did he create something he knew was going to go sour and he knew he was going to have to send his son to redeem it and to buy it back? Why would he do that? Have you ever asked that question to yourself? Why would he do that? Well, when you get that answer, tell me. Because I don't know. All I know is what is. Say what is. It is what it is. It's not up for me to try to figure out why this happened that way. It happened that way, and all I'm to do is buy into the plan. And so God, the plan was before the foundations of the world. But then the price of it came in. There was a price for every. How many know there's a price for everything? Everything's got a price. No matter what it is, if it's a relationship, it's got a price. If it's a car, it's got a price. If it's clothes, it's got a price. Whatever it is, there's something to be paid for. You don't get something for nothing. If it sounds too good to be true, guess what? It probably is. Because there's a price to pay for everything in life, but it's worth the price. And this whole thing began, really, the price began in a place called the Garden of Gethsemane. And it was there that Jesus took his disciples and he asked him, he said, I want you to stay here with me. I want you to pray with me, because Jesus knew he was about to enter into the most difficult, painful moment of his life. And so he takes his dearest friends, he takes his closest ones, the ones that he had looked at and said, no longer I call you slaves, but now I call you my friend. And he brought them into the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was going to pray, oh God, if there be any other way, please take this cup from me. You see, God, Christ got to the place he knew what he was about to suffer. You know, anguish and distress was so heavily on him that it was to the point of losing his mind. The scripture says, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. And he prayed, the Bible says, until his sweat became as great drops of blood. Now, it wasn't that his sweat looked like, it became literally great big drops of blood. Because there's a medical term, and I can't remember it, and that's a word I don't even want to try to pronounce, but it's when you're under such stress that the pores of your skin can literally open up and blood will just seep through it because you're so distressed. Jesus was so distressed in the garden, and he was so overwhelmed, his sweat became blood. And then he prayed a second time and he said, Lord, if there be no other way, I'll drink this cup. And then angels came and ministered to him, and he went back to his disciples. Then in that garden, one of those that he had prophesied to and said, one of you is going to betray me. Judas comes to the garden. He brings the soldiers to find him. He says, the one that I kiss on the cheek, that's him. And Judas walks up to the door of life, kisses the door on the cheek and turned away and walked away. He kissed the door and missed the entrance. He kissed the door to life and walked away. And then they came and they got him and they took him to the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin, the high priest, said, are you really the Christ? If you be the, tell us, are you the Son of God? And Jesus wasn't going to put up with none of this stuff. You may deny me, but I can't deny myself. You may not believe who I am, but I know who I am. And he says, you've said it. You've said it. I like that. I like that response. Are you the Son of God? You said it. In other words, yeah, I am. I am. And he went from there, and they took him to Pilate because he was a governor. He was the one that was going to make this thing happen. But Pilate's wife comes to him and says, I had a dream last night, and it's a troubling dream, and I just want to give this little word to you, this little intuition to you. Don't have anything to do with this. Something's not right. Have anybody ever had something inside you just go, something's not right? Listen to it. And so they bring him to Pilate, and Pilate didn't want to do it, so Pilate says, I don't find any fault in this man. And Pilate says, here's what you do. So they had to be scourged. So they took him out and they got the what they call the cat of nine tails. And it was just whipped with nine straps on it, leather straps. And it had lead balls all over it and it had jagged bones all over it. And they took him out and they scourged. A lot of people died just being scourged. And so for 39 stripes, they took that whip and they whipped his back and they would make long furlows, the Bible says was prophesied. They made long furlows in his back. In other words, they just plowed up his back. There was a movie years ago called The Passion of the Christ, and there was a real controversy over how they depicted Christ and all of his suffering and how bloody he really was. And if you really watch that movie, that depiction's not out of hand. That depiction's not overboard because he was one bloody mess because of what he was suffering. Pilate really thought, surely that will appease them. And they brought him back to Pilate, and Pilate looks, and Pilate again tries. He says, listen, it's this time of year when one prisoner is to be released. And there was a guy named Barabbas who was a criminal and said, who do you want released? They said, give us Barabbas. And so Pilate does something that's been misunderstood and misrepresented and misinterpreted for years. Pilate took a wash pan of water and he washed his hands. And when he washed his hands, he walked away and saying, I'm washing my hands of this matter. I have nothing to do with it. It turned into, over the centuries, people going, I'm just washing my hands of you. Anybody ever heard that? I'm just washing my hands of this situation. That's not what Pilate was doing. Pilate was saying, I don't want this man's blood on my hands. I am washing my hands. And it came to pass that Pilate and his wife started the Coptic church. And 500 years later, he was consecrated a saint in the church. Well, how about that? The one you thought washed his hands. No. He was saying, I have no part of this. And they took him. They took him to a place called Golgotha's Hill. And here's where it really starts. There's seven words that Christ uttered from the cross. Some people call it the seven last words of Christ. Well, they weren't his seven last words. How many know he said something after the resurrection? They were just seven words of Christ. And the first thing Jesus did, he's on the cross. He's hanging naked. He's been scourged. They put a crown of thorns on his head. He's been beaten by Roman guards as hard as they could hit him with it. He's been spit in the face. He's been mocked and ridiculed. He's been dejected, rejected. You name it, it's happened to him. And now he's hanging on a cross. And the very first thing he decides to do, the very first thing he decides to say is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, I mean, you've heard that so many times, you know, and think, well, that is really neat. Let me tell you something about that moment of forgiveness. This was the ultimate forgiveness ever given. He forgave while they were doing it. Not after. While it was happening, he goes ahead and releases forgiveness. You see, if you'll go through life and as it's going on, if you'll go ahead and just forgive while you're hurting, while it's happening to you, then you won't suffer the pain and the agony of it later on. Jesus did not want to have to go to a counseling session or go to a life coach and go, what am I going to do with this? He just said, I'm going to out of the gate. I'm going to forgive you while you're doing it, while you're spitting at me, while you're ridiculing me. That's the reason one of the soldiers at the cross looked up and he finally said, truly, this was the Son of God. Nobody can do this. Caiaphas the high priest, when it was all over, they came to Caiaphas the high priest. And after he saw what happened at the cross and he saw what God Christ did, Caiaphas said, and it's written in the archives of history, I'm afraid we have crucified the Son of God. Yeah. Paul said, had they known what they were doing, they would have never done it. Had the devil knew what he was doing when he crucified the Lord, he'd have never, ever done that. Second thing he said, was a thief was hanging on the cross. Matter of fact, there was one on each side of him. There was probably even more than that up on the cross. But one on each side, and one of them began to say, if you're really the Son of God, why don't you take yourself down from this cross? And by the way, while you're at it, why don't you take us too? That's what a lot of people think, don't they? If you be, then do this. Okay, yeah, some of you didn't. Yeah, Lord, if you'll do this, I'll believe in you. That's what he's saying. If you do this, I'll believe that you're really the Son of God. But while you're in the process of doing it, you know, help us out too. But one other thief looked and said, you don't know what you're talking about. We've done crimes. We should be hanging on this cross. He has done no wrong. And he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today, that will be in me in paradise. Aren't you glad he's a God of today?
Yes.
Today. I hit me when I read, today, thou shalt be in me in paradise. Not tomorrow. They think I'm going to a tomb. I'm not going to a tomb. I'm going to paradise. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. What they called a tomb, he called paradise. Okay. Third thing he says, he looks down at the cross, looks down on the ground, and there's his mother. Can you imagine his mother watching him die? Can you imagine Mary looking at her son on the cross? That's the reason when Jesus was born and they were dedicating in the temple, when they came to Mary and said, Mary, a sword is going to pierce your heart. And there she is watching her son die. And Jesus looks at Mary and says, woman, behold thy son. And he pointed at a disciple named John. And he said, John, behold your mother. In other words, take care of my mother while I'm gone. He's interested in relationships. I thought about this when I was reading about John. I love John. It's funny about at the cross, there's Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, and another Mary, and John. So if you're Mary or John, you're in good company. They were the only ones there. And Matthew said, all of us forsook him. And John wants to go, whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, whoa, Matthew. Whoa, Peter. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I didn't. I was at the cross. At the cross. You weren't there. You were afraid and you fled. I was there. You know why I believe he was there? This is hot off the press. I believe he was there because, you know, he's the one. It wasn't Matthew who said John was the beloved disciple. It wasn't Mark. It was John himself. I love John. John, he's writing the book of St. John. And he goes, hey, I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. Maybe he's saying, I'm the disciple that really understood the love of Christ. And because I really understood the love of Christ and my love for him, he was going to be at the cross. Let me tell you something. There's always going to be a John at your cross. There's always going to be somebody there. Everybody else may leave you, but somebody's going to be there. Somebody's going to be at your cross. Somebody's going to be there with you. Then this was, I think, the biggest pain that Jesus suffered. And I can bear it out with one verse somewhere in Hebrews. Be up to you to find it. But all of a sudden, he cried out, Lama, Lama, Lama Sabbathani, which is interpreted, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because Jesus became sin. And God, the Bible says, is too pure of eyes to behold iniquity. And when he became sin, his father turned his back on him. And Jesus cries out, why have you forsaken? Have you ever been abandoned? In Hebrews, it writes that Jesus said these words in the Amplified Translation. My biggest fear, my biggest pain that I suffered was that if I would have one fleeting moment of a broken relationship with the Father. I don't want one fleeting moment. And you see, that's all it was. It was God turning his back on his son and immediately turning back because sin was atoned for. And when he became it, it was over. Aren't you glad that it's over? Wow, that just hit me. Aren't you glad that it's over? Aren't you glad that it's over? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that you don't have to be one of those disciples who don't understand? Aren't you glad that you don't have to be one that followed him and then had to watch him die upon the cross? Aren't you glad it is over? Aren't you glad that sin has been atoned for? Aren't you glad? And then he said something. He said, I thirst. And there was some sour wine there. Not wine, just sour wine. That which should bring you joy was sour. And they gave it to him to drink. I want to say something here. It's probably one of the most difficult things, but yet one of the most, I think, needful things for you to understand. Jesus decided in Gethsemane to drink the cup. There are times in life when the best thing you can do is just drink the cup. It's not going to change. It's painful. It's hurtful. The only thing you can do is drink the cup. Drink the cup. Somebody came to me for counseling one time and said, I've been rejected. I just don't know how to deal with this rejection. He said, what can I do? How can I get over this rejection? I looked at him and I said, accept it. Nothing you can do. And see, that's how we get so torn and so battered and beat up, because things that, just accept it is what it is. If you've been abandoned, just accept it. You've been rejected, just accept, drink the cup. Because let me tell you something, after you drink the cup, then he said, it is finished. It is finished. And the Bible says the veil of the temple was rent from top to the bottom, open wide, signifying whosoever will now may come into the presence of God Almighty. Aren't you glad? It is finished. Then he said, Big Mama just passed away, and we kept thinking any moment for a week. But Big Mama kept saying, I ain't done yet. I ain't done yet. You know, when she went, she got ready. Jesus, they came and said, we're going to take your life. I said, no, you ain't taking my life. I'm laying down my life. You can't take my life. I can call 10,000 angels right now to this earth, destroy this whole thing, start all over. I can just wipe all of you out. You ain't doing nothing to me that I'm not letting you do. And so he says the last statement, it's finished, and to thy hands now I commend my spirit. Wow. Kitty's just going to play real slowly. Luke chapter 24. Jesus is resurrected from the dead. Peter and John were hiding, and somebody came to them and said, he's not there. John and Peter said, what do you, he's not where? He's not in the tomb. He's not there. So Peter and John run. John, he was faster and he got there first. But Peter, he was more zealous. He ran right past John and he ran in the tomb. And he looked over and he saw his head napkin they had wrapped around his head. It was neatly folded up like a handkerchief. It was laid on the side. Peter saw it. Then he looked and he saw the linen wrappings that they had wrapped around his body. They were just strewn on the floor. You know, like your kids do, just throw it on the floor. Because Jesus was saying, I did my part. The head's finished. Head's done. Now somebody's got to fill that role. He said, in Revelations, I saw a bunch of people with white robes on. They feel them ropes. What do you say? Was somebody going to pick up that rope? Somebody going to pick that rope up? You going to pick your robe up? Have you picked your robe up? Have you filled it in? Have you put it on? Have you asked him to forgive you? Have you asked him to come in? Have you put your robe on? There's one for you, for everybody. And so after the resurrection, if I'd have been Jesus, how many's ever said that? If I'd have been Jesus, I wouldn't have done what Jesus did after he came out of the tomb. Because Jesus didn't go toward Jerusalem, Ron. He went another way. He went somewhere else. I'd have went to Peter, James, and John. I'd have went to Bartholomew. I'd have went to those disciples that was left. I'd have ran to them and said, see, I told you. I told you. But yet he leaves, Joy, and he goes the wrong way. Not toward Jerusalem, but away from Jerusalem. And he's walking down this road, and it says on that same day, two of Jesus' followers will walk into the village of Emmaus. You can't even find Emmaus. Jesus walking to an insignificant place. Why? Because there were two followers. Weren't disciples. They were just followers. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. And as they walked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But they didn't recognize him. How many know so many times when you walk in and you grief, you think he's not there, but he is. He asked them, what are you discussing so intently as you walk? They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, you must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about the things that have happened here in the last few days. What things, he asked. The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth. He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and our religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning. They came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing. They had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Why search you the living among the dead? Why do you want to search the dead stuff of this world to find the living God? You can't find him in the dead places. He's alive and he's doing well. Satan's dead and he's not doing well. Some of our men ran to see, and sure enough, his body was gone. Jesus said to them, you foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all the prophets were written in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to come to suffer all the things before entering his glory? Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining the scriptures things concerning himself. He never did that with his disciples. Here's two people, you don't even know who they are. First time they've ever been mentioned is Cleopas, and the other person's probably his wife. Two insignificant people going to an insignificant town, but they happen to be followers of Christ, and he means so much to him, he says, I'm going to go and minister to them. Oh, I love this. At that time, they were nearing Emmaus, and the end of their journey, Jesus acted as if he was going on, but they begged him, stay the night with us, since it is getting late. So he went home with them, and they sat down to eat at the table. He took the bread and he blessed it. He broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were open, and they said to one another, didn't our hearts burn within us? Kelly told me years ago, he said back then when they took bread like this, and they broke it, and then they handed it. And see, when he broke it and handed it, they saw something. They saw the nail prints. Then their eyes were open. He explained to them the scriptures. They said, didn't our hearts burn within us? Didn't it burn? And within that hour, they're on the way back to Jerusalem. But they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with him who said, the Lord's really risen, he appeared to Peter. Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road. how they recognized him as he was breaking the bread. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. Peace be to you. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking they are seeing a ghost. See, some of you say, I wish I could see Jesus. Really? Why are you so frightened? Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands and my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me. I'm not a ghost. And he showed them his hands and his feet. And this is the greatest revelation I ever got. I was walking across the parking lot and I said, why the scars? Why is a resurrected body still have scars? Wouldn't that body that was tortured and put in a tomb come out without scars? Why the scars? And I believe Big Mama walked over to God and said, tell him. Tell him. And all of a sudden, two things hit me. One, he didn't say he would do away with the scars. He said, I'll do away with the tears and the pain and the sorrow and the grief. You see, 1 million years from now, you're going to still have the scars, but they're not going to be scars of sorrow and pain. They're not going to be tears of sorrow. They're going to be tears of joy. Because you're going to remember what God did for you. You can remember the what happened, but it's not painful anymore. Because see, he brought me through that. He brought me through that pain. And then 1 million years from now, we'll be singing with the angels and saying, glory, hallelujah, to the one who has redeemed us from all nations and all peoples and all languages. And yeah, I was down, but he picked me up. Yeah, I was hurting, but he healed me. Yes, I had a spirit of sorrow, but he gave me a spirit of joy. Yes, I had nothing but pain and hurt, but he came and he brought me out of it. What is to assure us that 1 million years from now there's not another rebellion in heaven? What's going to assure you? You see, Jesus, I'm telling you why he's got the scars, because he's sitting next to the throne. And every time you mess up, and you will, every time you fall, and you will, every time you sin, and you will, every time you do something wrong, and you will, he looks at his scars. He says, I paid too big a price not to forgive them. I paid too big a price. I paid too big a price not to redeem. I paid too big a price not to forgive them. I paid too big a price. And so what they had to have is a refocused hope. And the resurrection is never going to be like maybe what you thought. Stop trying to figure out how God's going to do it and how's it going to look when you get out of it. He went to the tomb to get you out of the tomb. He went to the tomb to get you out of the tomb, this tomb in you. I don't know if that's right, but it sounded pretty good. What's got you in your tomb? Every time we rise to the realization of the perpetual life of God that's in us and how we are connected to God. Greatest thing in the world is just to know that you're connected to God. Every time a new flood of hope of life comes to all who have their minds open to the Word of God is a new resurrection. Resurrection is an ongoing resurrection in our life continually. Day in, day out. Day in, day out. Every time I get a fresh revelation of God, I get a fresh resurrection of God in my old God. Every time I get a fresh revelation of God, I get a fresh resurrection of God in my life. And God just keeps being resurrected in me. This old song, I wished I could remember it. And I can remember about this much of it. Wouldn't we give it to you? About this much of it. And if you remember it, you can tell me after. But so years and years ago. And I can't even remember it now. But you know that crying's not a bad thing. But save some of your tears for the good things. Your heart may be broken tonight, and I don't know the rest of a song. But in all your pain and sorrow, there's one who holds tomorrow, and he'll take you by your hand and get you through. And a million years from now, you'll remember your scars, but you won't remember your pain. And those are tears of joy. You ever cried because you were so happy? Huh? I mean, really, the happiest that you'll ever be, you'll cry. Think about it. The happiest you'll ever be, you'll cry. Somebody did something for Barbara this week, and she just cried. She wasn't sad. She was happy. But she cried. Didn't say you won't remember it. You just won't have any pain with it. If you will, take a walk down the road today to Emmaus, an insignificant place. If you'll take that walk, Christ is there, and he'll open your eyes and open your minds to see things that you've never heard and seen before. See, the Apostle Paul said this. He was beaten. One time he was stoned to death. He died. He said, I was caught up into the third heaven, heard things I can't even tell you about. But he was beaten. And Paul said this about his scars. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Did you hear that? See, if you'll stop saying I bear in my soul the hurts and the pains what somebody did to me, if you'll stop saying, I bear in my body, I bear in my heart, I bear in my soul, I bear in my spirit, I bear in me, I remember the pain, I remember what you did to me, I remember what you inflicted on me. If you'll turn that around, Jim, and say, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to make this turn bad for me. Not going to make this turn bad for me. What you might have meant for evil, God meant for good. Anybody had hope after a divorce? Anybody got hope after they've been hurt? Anybody got hope after you went through the worst thing in your life? Luke walked into the office about 2 years ago and he says, man, this is the worst day of my life. You remember that? Man, you know, but yeah, man, this is the worst day of my life. I looked at him and said, boy, you better hope it is. You better hope this is the worst day of your life, because there's some pain, there's some roads you're going to go down in life. It's going to be a lot worse than that one. You better hope sometime that was your worst day. Stand together. If you're here, I don't know what part of this touched your life. I know that when you come and you listen to a message, you can't get it all. You can't get it all and can't give it all. But there was something said that touched you. Something said that sparked a note in you. Something was said. Whatever it was, maybe you've been abandoned. Jesus dealt with that. Maybe today you need something. Not tomorrow. I don't need tomorrow. I need it today. Today. You hear what I'm saying? Not tomorrow. I need it today. I mean, I can't wait till tomorrow. I need it today. He's a God of today. Today. You need forgiveness? He's already done it. You ain't got to ask him. Just accept it. Just accept it. All you got, he's already forgiven. You just have to accept it. And so I know it's Easter Sunday morning, and sometimes I just don't want to walk down there. Well, just think about him walking up the hill to the cross. I think if he walked to the hill of the cross, I could walk down to an altar. Don't you think you could possibly do that? See, Jesus, the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Maybe you need to turn your situation around and go, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's what he died for. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. But whatever you need to receive what Christ has done. Would you just come and stand across this? Whatever it is, it's salvation, it's a renewed life, it's a whatever it is, just come and stand across here. And I promise you, as we pray, there will be a blessing of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit that will invade your life to give you a renewed hope and a refocused vision. You will fix your eyes on him. Right now. Right now. Come and just stand. I'm coming just as I am. I'm coming at the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. At the cross, where I first saw the light. At the cross was where my pain was paid for. At the cross was where the forgiveness came. At the cross is where my healing came. At the cross is where my joy came. At the cross, at the cross, at the cross. So God, today, we all have scars, some literal scars, but mostly scars that are not seen but felt deep. If I could open up my heart and open up my soul, you can see a lot of scars there. I can't do it, but you know, and I know they're there. And so, God, I'm not going to let these scars hinder me anymore in life. I'm going to turn my scars into stars. I'm going to take the scars that I have and let them be marks of my Lord Jesus Christ. I will drink the cup as Jesus drank the cup. I'll just drink it right now, Lord. Get it over with. It is what it is. I accept it, and I can't change it, but I can do something for the days to come. So right now, we receive your love. We receive your forgiveness. We receive your hope. We receive, God, your love. And we receive it today in the name of Jesus. We receive it today. 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 Amen. Can we all sing it? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. Well, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. Oh, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Will's coming. Can I give you one last nugget? You know I am anyway. I used to read this scripture, and it says, you had to touch my hands and touch my feet. Remember that one? You had to see my scars. You had to put your finger in my side. You had to do all that to believe. He says, blessed are those that have never seen that and yet believe. The scars weren't to make people believe. Because there's millions and billions of people today believing, never seen the scars. Scars weren't to make the disciples believe. He was letting them know there's a whole lot more to this than you. A whole lot more to this thing. It ain't all about you. That hurt. Man, if I was the only one who would have came down and died, get a life. This thing was more about the world, the universe, everything and everybody. That's it.
You may be seated. I hope you got a bulletin, because inside the bulletin a lot of important information, but the most important thing to us is the connection card that is in there. We ask that each and every week that you're here that you fill that out so that we can get your prayer request, or you can sign up for different things that are going on. And then at the end of the service now, our ushers are going to come and receive our morning's tithes and offerings and alms. Some of you may not know that Eagles Way has an app. You need to go to the website or to your local, your store, whatever it's Google Play or the iTunes store, and download the Eagles Way app. There's no charge for it. We're not trying to make money off it. But from there, if you want to, if you miss a Sunday, and looking at how full we are and how many chairs we put out, got a feeling that some of you have missed a Sunday before. I'm not condemning you. I'm encouraging you that you can watch it online. You can listen to it while you're working out. From there, if you want to give, some people set it up. Same time each month, they give that way. Over half our congregation now giving online. A way that you can do that. Next Sunday, I have something exciting that's going to happen. If you, not that there's anybody in here thinks that sometimes maybe it's a little loud in here on worship time. Okay, there's a reason for that, and I'll give you that explanation. But next Sunday is going to be all hymns next Sunday. So it will. We will not have the full band. But so if that is your thing, make sure that you spread that word and tell some folks, so that they can make sure that they are here next Sunday. And then the 30th, 2 weeks from today, this is very important. We are doing a family service at the Lake Pavilion. Okay, the Lake Pavilion is used to where we do our cookouts. Okay, it's now called the Lake Pavilion. But they have built an amphitheater there. And so we are at 11 o'clock. We'll have somebody here at 10 o'clock for those that don't get this message, and direct them to be out at the Lake Pavilion at 11 o'clock, and we'll social media it so that to try to remind you. But we will have our 11 o'clock family service out there at the lake, and then immediately following, we'll have our cookout, grilled chicken, and all of the fixings that go with that. So there'll be lots of activities. Bring your fishing poles if you want to do that. They have canoes and paddle boats now, so it'll be a big day. God bless. Isn't he good? Always. Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can come to your house. We can receive from you. Lord, that we can give our first fruits, our tithes, our offerings, our alms, our service to you. Lord, take, bless those to the furtherment of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. If you would, stand and let's end in worship.
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested, my life began. Ash was redeemed, only beauty. My orphan heart was given away. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested, my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over. You have made me new, now life begins.
chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. Criminal's cross, darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested.
Sunday.